Morning, everyone. As Matthew said, my name is Matthias. And I've been at North Langley for a long, long time now. It's been my home church for about 15, 16 years. And I've really grown up in this church. And looking back at 11-year-old Matthias when he first got here, and just thinking about all the people in this room who've spent the time to build into me and make me the person who I am and have the opportunity to speak here in front of you guys and give you this message, I just think it's so cool. So I'm super excited to be up here, and I hope we can all learn from what God has to say to us today. As this is the last message of our Songs to the Unknown God sermon series, you've likely already heard much of what I'm about to say. But for those of you who may be newcomers or simply been away enjoying the summer sun, let's do a little recap. So the title for this sermon series comes from a passage of scripture found in the book of Acts. In Acts 17, we see Paul the missionary speaking to the people about Jesus and the resurrection. And some of the philosophers of the city of Athens, they hear what Paul is teaching and they want to know more about it. And so they bring Paul up to Mars Hill, to the Areopagus, and here, with a captive audience, this is what Paul says. "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." Paul looked around at the culture that he was in and the people he was with, and he discerned, he asked himself, what is it that these people are longing for? And instead of telling them what they should be feeling, he discerns what it is that they are feeling, and then he applies the gospel in a way that it fulfills those felt needs. And so as we take time to walk through our own culture, to listen and observe and discern the deep longings of our own people, what is it that they're longing for? And how can we as Christians apply the gospel to our culture in a way that shows it can meet their deepest needs? Well, today we'll be looking at the song Hello from the album 25 by Adele. And now there's a good chance you may have heard this song before. Maybe you've heard it too many times before. And maybe you're absolutely sick of it. But it's been played countless times on the radio over the past few years. It's been covered, it's been parodied. And if you're tired of hearing it, I get it. Or maybe you're in the camp that absolutely loves Adele. And every time this song comes on, you get carried away belting out the high notes because you're like, everybody loves a power ballad, right? Like just. So my hope, though, is that for all of us to be as if we're hearing the song for the very first time. So put aside your disdain for overplayed pop music and stifle that urge to let those vocal cords loose on the chorus and just listen for the deep longing behind Adele's lyrics.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello, how are you? It's so typical of me to talk about myself. I'm sorry. I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So
Did you hear the brokenness in Adele's words? Did you feel the pain that she was experiencing? Did you sense the unfulfilled longings in her voice? A desire to go back, to be free from what happened in her past? A longing for closeness? A yearning to be healed of the pain she's feeling? Did you notice how many times she said the words, "I'm sorry"? Here's what Adele herself had to say about the song in an interview on the Today Show back in December of 2015. "Hello is just about reconnecting with everyone else and myself. From the other side, I couldn't get over my guilt of leaving my kid to go and write a record and stuff like that." I couldn't get over my guilt and stuff like that. Maybe you felt that before. And listen to these lyrics again. Maybe you resonate with some of them. They say that time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I must have called 1,000 times to tell you I'm sorry for everything that I've done. But when I call, you never seem to be home. These are the words of someone who has a deep longing to be forgiven. Someone who's on the outside and consoled only by the fact that they can say, at least I can say that I've tried. It's quite a sad song, isn't it? Stuck in a place where healing and freedom are beyond her grasp. But Adele is clearly not the only one who feels this way. Let me give you just a glimpse of this song's popularity. The video of Hello, released on the 22nd of October 2015, was viewed over 27.7 million times on YouTube in its first 24 hours. On October 28th, BBC News reported that Hello was being viewed on YouTube an average of 1 million times per hour. Hello went on to become the fastest video to hit 1 billion views on YouTube when it achieved that after only 88 days. And by the end of 2015, it had sold 12.3 million units globally, making it the seventh best-selling single of the entire year, despite being released in late October. There's something in Adele's longing for forgiveness that clearly resonates with people. And we are desperate to feel the healing and freedom that comes from forgiveness. But why is this the case? Why are there so many people longing for forgiveness and unable to find it? Well, I think we kind of know the answer. It's forgiveness is hard. And we're not talking here about these minor inconveniences, these "I'm sorry I was late," these moments of thoughtlessness, the "I'm sorry I ate the last donut even though you were saving it," the sort of "that's okay, it's no big deal, I don't mind," social niceties kind of forgiveness. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about big, messy, deep-seated regret, unresolved guilt, life-altering bitterness and resentment, the I went too far in a past relationship, and I still carry the shame of that with me. I placed too high of expectations on those closest to me, and now I find myself alone. I'm sorry I've allowed selfish thought patterns to develop from years of a hidden porn addiction. We're talking about those I'm sorries that Adele says, time's supposed to heal, but I ain't done much healing. Those things from our past that have stayed with us for years. But it's not just the big things, the so-called giants of sin, the adultery with a coworker, the porn addiction, the ones that blow up in our faces and leave a trail of destruction, the ones we know about but we don't want to talk about. Yeah, those are hard. And we need healing and freedom that comes through forgiveness for those things. But sometimes it's the little things, too. The things that nobody knows about or nobody would have to know about. And other than the two services this morning, and except for my wife this past Friday as I was preparing for this sermon, this is the first time I've told this story. So when I was in grade 11, I was on a mission trip to Mexico to build a church. And one of the afternoons, we'd stopped to have lunch. And I remember somebody had bought one of these big boxes of chips that you get at Costco, you know, the ones that have like all of the little assorted bags of chips in them. And I guess there was a promotion going on at the time. And so they'd each of the bags had these little packages of collectible Pogs in them, like a little prize in the bottom of the bag. And I remember thinking, Pogs. I loved playing with Pogs when I was younger. And it was this fun little throwback moment to my childhood. Well, nobody else wanted their Pogs. And so I collected them all and I shoved them in my pocket. And I'm not sure what I planned to do with them, but I just couldn't watch people throw away this storied piece of my childhood. So I collected them and I put them in my pocket. Well, in the afternoons while we were in Mexico, we ran a VBS camp, and that meant often playing soccer with the kids. And on our walk out to the field to play soccer, I remember this little boy, his name was Miguel, he was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and he came up to me and he offered me a bag of chips. I'm not sure where he came up with this bag of chips, but he was clearly very poor and didn't have much, but he handed me this bag of chips. And he didn't speak any English, but I knew a little bit of Spanish from taking it in high school. And so I understood, and I said thank you. And Miguel went off to play soccer, and eventually I finished the bag of chips. And at the bottom of the bag, sure enough, there was a small clear packet of two of those little collectible Pogs in it. And nobody was around, and I didn't know what else to do with them, so I just opened it up and stuck it in my pocket with the rest of the collection that I had going. And a little while after that, Miguel came back. And though I couldn't understand everything he was saying, I knew he was asking about the prize that was in the bag of chips that he gave me. And so I pulled one out of the pocket and I showed it to him, and he didn't seem all that interested. I guess maybe he had that one already, I don't know. But after that, he said something else to me and he held up the number 2. And I was able to kind of put together that he wanted to see the other Pog that was in the bag of the chips that he gave me. And here's when it happened. I had already mixed the Pogs he'd given me into the rest of the ones that I had collected. And this is what went through my mind. How am I going to find the one that he gave me without pulling all of the Pogs out of my pocket? And if he knew I had more Pogs, maybe he would want all of them. And there were other kids around too. So out of my own selfishness, in order to keep the Pogs for myself, I pretended like I didn't know what Miguel was saying. I lied to him. I deceived this little boy over some Pogs that were clearly of much more value to him than they were to me. Instantly, this guilt just washed over me. These Pogs, they burned a hole in my pocket next to me for the rest of the day. I couldn't wait to get rid of them because all they did was remind me of the selfishness that I'd shown, and I was ashamed. And to be honest with you guys, I carried the shame of that act with me until this week. And now I don't share this story with you to say that I'm bearing my deepest, darkest secret and that this is the worst thing I've ever done, because it's not. But some of you might be thinking, like hearing that story and thinking, wow, that's terrible. You basically stole from a poor, innocent Mexican boy. Why didn't you just give him all the Pogs? And you know what? You'd be right. I've thought all those things for many years. I've replayed that situation in my head over and over again. What joy I could have brought in surprising Miguel with a whole handful of Pogs when he only expected 2. But some of you might be thinking, that's it? They're just Pogs. I've done way worse things than that. You expect me to share the horrible things that I've done after that? And I get it. I picked something to share that is somewhat safe. I hear you. But sometimes the little things not forgiven can have just the same effect on us as the big things. Things like a harsh word spoken to your child in a fit of anger, a hateful response to a parent in a moment of rebellion, a broken promise, an unmet expectation, a small deception or misrepresentation for personal gain. Sometimes these things can stay with us for a long, long time. And as long as they're in there, the enemy uses them against us, bringing them to our memory and speaking lies over us. How could you be so selfish? Where is your self-control? You're ugly. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. Nobody would accept you if they knew the real you. These are lies. But the longer these things stay with us, the more we start to believe that the lies are true. And if this is where you find yourself right now, where there's something in your past that you're trying to be forgiven for, you probably have a good idea of what that thing is. There's a good chance that it's flitted across your mind at some point as I've been talking. And so we're going to do something here. We're just going to take a moment, and if you don't mind, just try to take captive of that thought, the one that flitted through your mind just a little moment ago. Take captive that thought and hold it in your mind for a moment. And just take a deep breath. And while you have that thought still in your mind, I want you to hear these words. You are forgiven. For whatever it is that's in your mind right now, you are forgiven. It doesn't matter what it is that you've done, whether big or small, how long ago it happened, or how recently it may have happened. It doesn't matter if reconciliation is impossible at this point, because the person that you want to apologize to won't accept your apology, or because they've gone away. It doesn't even matter if you think you deserve it. You are forgiven by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who took our sin upon himself and died on the cross so that we can be set free from our guilt, our shame, our pain, and our regrets. You are forgiven. Christ has forgiven you. But to experience freedom and healing, we need to be able to enter into this forgiveness, and that can be a difficult first step. So let me just take a moment here to bolster our courage and our resolve. Because the enemy has been given room in our hearts for a long time, and he's not going to want to give up that ground easily. I can guarantee you that. And this is what the fight is going to look like. Because if we can see what's coming, I think we have the chance to counteract it. This is what he's going to say. These are some thoughts you might have. He's going to plant doubts in your mind. Surely this sermon's not for me. It must be for someone else. Surely God isn't asking me to confess that sin. It's not that big of a deal. What would confessing that sin actually change? And he's going to use fear. What might people think of me if they knew that I had done that? Being vulnerable is too risky. I've been hurt before. And he's going to use excuses. I've never done this before. I wouldn't know where to begin. I can't handle this right. Maybe I'll go for prayer next time. This is how the enemy keeps his hold on us, and he keeps us from finding freedom in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It's often these subtle little things that convince us not to take that first step. So if you find yourself thinking some of these thoughts, or the thought of letting one of these things out into the light has your heart racing, let me just pray for you right now. Lord, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sin, and offer us unconditional forgiveness. We thank you that we can come to you with anything. Nothing we have done surprises you. Nothing we have done is too big for you to forgive. And we ask that right now you would come in power and remove the hold that the enemy has on our lives, that you would break chains and give us the courage to let your light shine into the darker parts of our hearts. Give us the strength to overcome the advances of the enemy, and give us the courage to be vulnerable. We want to be healed. We want to find freedom in you. We thank you and we love you. Amen. If that prayer resonated with you, I just want to let you know the freedom and healing that you are looking for is possible, and this could be your first step in finding it. And I also want to draw your attention to this program called Freedom Session that we run here at our Walnut Grove campus. It's an incredible program full of people who have experienced the freedom and healing of forgiveness in their own lives. And they would love to walk with you on that journey towards healing. I've had several family members go through the program, and they all highly, highly recommend it. So if you're serious about this, definitely get more information on Freedom Session. Talk to a staff member, they'll be able to point you in the right direction, and I think all the information's on the website as well. Okay, so I know that was a lot just then. May have just stirred up some very painful things from the past, so if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, that's okay. So I'll just take a deep breath. And again, if your mind is racing, if you're like me, maybe you need some time to just mentally process everything that just happened here, I encourage you to just tune me out. Yeah, might be the first and only time you hear a preacher say this, but feel free to ignore me for the rest of what I say, because maybe you've dealt with enough already today, and you need to be focusing on that and leaning into that, because there's freedom and healing there. But for the rest of us, we're going to press on for a bit here. Because there's always two sides to forgiveness, right? In the song we've been looking at today, there's Adele, who has broken someone's heart, and there's the man with the broken heart who won't return any of Adele's calls. There's the person who needs forgiving and the person who has to do the forgiving, and both roles are hard. It takes a lot of humility to admit we were wrong and ask for forgiveness. But giving forgiveness, yeah, that's hard. It's hard because it's not fair. I've been wronged, and now you want me to forgive you? I'm the victim here. I want justice. How many times can I possibly forgive someone? Now, I want to be careful here, because maybe some of you have experienced an abusive relationship or some other kind of unhealthy environment. I am not saying that forgiveness means perpetually overlooking harmful behavior. If that's a situation that you find yourself in, talk to somebody, talk to a pastor, talk to a counselor. You have a right to a safe place. But when Peter asked Jesus the same question, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Jesus answered Peter with this parable. And this is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 22 to 33. And it says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him only 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?'" If we're unwilling to forgive, we're like the servant who is forgiven the massive debt, who then turns around and demands that he be paid for the smaller debt that he's owed. And maybe it was a long time ago that you first tasted the healing and freedom of forgiveness. And maybe we need to come back to that forgiveness and taste it again for ourselves. By all means, let's throw ourselves into the arms of Jesus and be forgiven. Because forgiving others is impossible unless we have been forgiven ourselves. Before we can forgive others, we need to fully grasp the forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ. It's what frees us up to forgive. He has forgiven the debt we owe to him so that we can forgive the debts owed to us. But having tasted that freedom and healing, let's not withhold that from others. Once we've tasted and seen, let us reach out to those who are so desperately longing for it. This is our opportunity to apply the gospel to the longings of the culture we find ourselves in. Because we believe in a God who didn't demand what he was owed. Rather than considering himself equal with God, Jesus humbled himself, relinquishing his rights to glory and honor, and in order to die on the cross in our place. So let's not be like the unforgiving servant, because so many of us are longing for the freedom and healing of forgiveness. Our culture is so desperately longing for it. Let's show those around us how the gospel can meet their deepest needs by forgiving others with the forgiveness we have received in Jesus Christ. The worship team is just going to make their way up here. I'm going to pray for us one more time as they make their way up. The prayer team is also going to make their way to the sides and the back, wherever there's space. If you feel that you need to be prayed for, that you need to hear the words, "You are forgiven." We encourage you to seek that out. And if you guys don't mind, I'll just stand with me and I'll pray for us. Lord, again, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven. We thank you for the healing and freedom that has already come and is going to take place here today. We claim that in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask for the humility to be vulnerable with our past mistakes, with our faults and our weaknesses. Would you be the courage that we need to take that first step towards forgiveness? Whether that be finding the person we need to apologize to and asking for forgiveness, or asking for prayer from the prayer team on the sides, or softening our hearts toward those who have wronged us so that we can forgive them, or putting our name down on the sign-up sheet for Freedom Session. Lord, give us the wisdom and guidance in how to move forward. And Lord, be the strength to resist the enemy in whatever he seeks to hold us back. Again, we claim this in the power of Jesus' name. We trust that you will be faithful. Amen.